Chapter 14. The terrorists are in the White House. Now there's a note here about the editing. I reread this and I noticed it's a bit of a mouthfeel here and there and not that well written. But I'm so upset about this that I'm going to leave it alone. It doesn't have to be pretty. It can't be pretty. In our modern world, everything seems to be made of oil. If you consider a banana, and you live in the Ozark Mountains, it has so much transportation associated with it that it might as well be made of the black gold itself. It's in a wood crate that was once a tree, and it was cut down and shaped with oil, or its derivatives. It is wrapped with plastic, and its long-chain polymers were derived from crude. It's been kept in 10 different buildings or transport environments that are either heated or cooled with oil. When the black stuff runs out, we're going to have to find alternatives for all these conveniences, and that process has been so sorely neglected as if this stuff would never run out. Oil comes from a layer in the ground that was once massive aggregations of carbon trapped in decaying life forms, thought to be dinosaurs until recently. Scholars in the field now believe that a cycle of high carbon concentration in the atmosphere caused a cataclysm that not only killed the dinosaurs, but also created a very large increase in plankton and sea life that died off and became this layer. It shows up almost everywhere as a black, oily shale layer in mountainous or hilly areas where the strata is exposed. It was originally discovered just lying around in pools or bubbling up from the ground, and only the kerosene was initially extracted and used to replace the blubber oil from whales that was deteriorating supply due to overfishing. At that point in history, oil was only used for lighting, as had been the whale oil in the process involved in extracting, but the process involved in extracting discrete portions or fractions was evolving and bringing with it the industrial age. On the one hand, it is fortuitous for our whales that we found an alternative, but damaging for our population to think that we would have killed them off just for profit. This is an important point that would be carried through this entire chapter and others, that we, as a group, are incredibly stupid, gullible, greedy, and actually deserve the worst fate we can get. There's an article, Armageddon, attached to this section that contains this sentiment. These chapters were dated for a variety of reasons, but one of them was to fix in time the feelings about the world leadership. And since the American presidency and those in power around the president center on the Bush administration and have affected the world so profoundly regarding their decisions about oil, these comments concern them only and not subsequent administrations. First of all, the George Bush presidency, is illegal. How the American public has missed this very point is beyond me. You can't tell me that voting irregularities like those experienced in both Bush elections have no mention whatever in the American Constitution. I'm not going to belabor the point, but some 90,000 persons were placed on a special list of criminals just before the Florida election took place and not allowed to vote. After the election, Bush was shown to have won by about 150 votes, and the vast majority of those on the list were proved to be not criminals and unlikely to have voted for Bush. In the following election in Iowa, the blacks and largely Democratic voting public was forced to wait in line for up to 5 hours because the voting machines had been unfairly distributed. Also, the voting machines were rigged with an executable on the tally cards, that's an AXE or a program that was on the tally cards that altered the votes in favor of Bush, which is clearly a criminal act, and no one was brought to account for any of these activities. These irregularities will probably be used to to cause Obama to lose in favor of McCain in the upcoming election unless someone figures out how to get an honest election in America, and again, I'm not holding my breath. Well, there's a note here because Obama was elected and survived the process, and it turns out that the two-party system is actually a myth. Part of the problem is a curious lack of dissension among American media. America stopped printing news about the time Nixon was impeached, and now the entire so-called news gathering and dissemination process is a giant farce of lies. The only real news that comes out of the U.S. is in the underground, produced movies that are condemned by the Bush administration as being conspiracy theories. Part of that condemnation is correct, in that they do involve conspiracy, but they're not theories, at least not all of them. It's well known fact that media, such as newspapers, magazines, TV, and radio, have been coming under the control of fewer and fewer overall owners, and the smaller independent news services have all but disappeared. It's also a well-known fact that anyone that criticizes the powers that be, namely Bush, etc., will come under scrutiny, first of all by the immediate owner of the media, and subsequently by the government using some kind of moral slash economic persuasion. I have heard George giving this speech, putting his government against those that speak out in un-American ways. So in America, it's un-American to tell the truth. I've also heard the gutless media people complaining about their enslavement and inability to write news anymore, but I know what it's like because in Canada, the newspaper that I work for as a reporter was purchased by Thompson News Service, and there was an immediate understanding that anyone who crossed party lines would be reprimanded by the publisher through the editor and then fired should you fail to conform. So we have a government that has no vocal critics that can use mainstream media, and the ones that do manage to fight the good fight are on an uphill battle ground that ends with the fix being in and the battle being lost in the end. The CIA, that's the Central Intelligence Agency, the FBI, that's the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and the NSA, that's the National Security Administration, are basically licenses to kill in the U.S. and used as weapons against the rest of the world and against their own people. Nobody knows what black ops are carried out on a daily basis and by which organization, and there's absolutely no accountability for any of these things that these organizations do. Someone had to place all these explosives in the Twin Towers and in Building 7, and certainly wasn't Al-Qaeda, because it takes at least a month to do so, and do such a thing, and there is no way that they would have the resources to accomplish that. The work must have been carried out by a special detail group that would have been associated with the building of the bomb-proof floor on Building 7, and was probably used as a command and control center for all these demolitions. This is probably the reason that Building 7 had to be destroyed, and there must have been hundreds of people that have witnessed parts of this, but have been warned with life threats not to come forth. The simplest proof of this is the illegal removal of all the materials and the destructions materials of the destructions, and no independent body has ever been privy to inspection of these materials, plus the damning fact that all were thoroughly and secretly destroyed. All three buildings fell ostensibly by fire, and this has never happened before in the modern history of the steel-reinforced concrete building. So this triple precedent must, by law, be investigated, and our building practices be altered forever to avoid such weaknesses, and those responsible for such faulty construction be charged. None of this happened. The average response time to scramble fighters in the U.S. is about 15 minutes max. And this has been proven time and time again. The passenger liner that supposedly hit the Pentagon was hijacked for over an hour, and no jets intercepted it, and yet, again, no heads rolled for this failure. So obviously there was no failure. These things are fact, and not idle conjecture, but by some conspiracy zealot. You can look at the videos of the buildings being collapsed, and they did so at near freefall speed, and you can hear the people commenting all around about the explosions, and you can hear testimony about explosions that occurred prior to the planes hitting. But will any of these ever see the light of day? That is the question. The American presidency has a stranglehold on the public with multiple secret agencies that have no watchdog whatsoever. Years ago, Dwight D. Eisenhower was a general in the Army, and probably the last president you would expect to give such a warning, told us that we should beware the time when the industrial military complex gained too much power and influence over government. Well, it was already too late when he made this announcement, because that was already the status quo in the U.S. In the early 40s, Franklin D. Roosevelt tried a number of ways to get Japan to make some overt act of war on the U.S., and why? Was it because he was just being a good president and had the best interests of Middle America at heart? There's no reason for Roosevelt to desperately want to go to war unless those that supported him and made him president in the first place represented war manufacturers and profited directly from those conflicts. Roosevelt received dozens of warnings that Pearl Harbor was about to be attacked, and he is personally responsible for the 1,900 American servicemen that died in the area that fateful day simply because he did not allow the information to be transmitted to Pearl Harbor. Perhaps this problem goes back even further than the Second World War, but the cruel truth of this era is the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The U.S. military establishment controlling the U.S. government used German scientists removed from other war fronts to create a devastating weapon that they needed to place and they needed a place and a population to test it on. The idea that they were trying to sell and have been trying to sell ever since, that the Japanese were unwilling to capitulate, was absolute nonsense. There was not even a need to invade Japan. Their expansion had been thwarted in a most overwhelming way, and the last of their navy lay at the bottom of Leyte Gulf, and were helpless to resist further. The idea that the war was shortened and American soldiers' lives were saved by the use of nuclear warfare was also nonsense, considering that Japan was suckered into the war in the first place, and the American war machine loved killing its own and always has. There is still another factor that plays an important role in all of this intrigue. It's the typical American flag-waving patriot that refuses to believe that all the soldiers that died did so for the almighty buck and not for freedom. First of all, with the terrorists that are in the White House right now, you can take the freedom idea and chuck it out. And secondly, there's considerable doubt that any of the wars of history have ever been about anything other than wealth. There is a general apathy brought about by the abundance of oil that keeps the public from questioning authority. The average American and Canadian, for that matter, will shrug off 9/11, saying that the big boys will cheat a bit, and that's expected, but what can you do anyway? About 2 days ago, I tried to tell another Canadian male about what I had discovered regarding 9/11, that it was an inside job, and he selectively misheard me. I repeated what I had said and asked if his son in Texas had any comment about these revelations. It was as if I was talking about one thing and he another, and there was no communication on the subject, and I was deliberately ignored, even though he is a very good friend of mine. This is the problem that takes on a variety of forms and comes down to questioning authority. It comes down to questioning an authority that has capacity to do absolutely anything with no recriminations, so most of us just don't want to go there. The story of oil, as it unfolds, just may be the catalyst to get us get us to open this can of worms. This next article is called Armageddon, and this is plainly written by someone that is quite angry, and there's a reference to figmentalism linked above. There is no need to accept figmentalism to appreciate the article. It simply means that we are responsible for our dilemma and not some creating deity such as God. Armageddon. This was written May 23rd, 2006. Is it a religious thing or just us? If any intelligent consideration on the topic of Armageddon is to be approached, one must first examine humanity itself to be able to see our future. Armageddon is clearly a human thing. And whether you have religious beliefs or not, our bad habits are clearly the cause. The future is plain. Armageddon is what the earth needs to cleanse itself. But what is the earth without us? The earth needs less of us, and for us to convert to a caring lot. The hippies told us so years ago, and like all others, were ignored. Here's the contributing factors. Overpopulation and the failure of general conception, contraception. The failure to feed the poorest. Rampant diseases such as AIDS in Zambia and failure of drug supply system. Melting polar ice caps. General higher summer temperatures. Ozone depletion, greenhouse gas and the failure to stem production, failure of Kyoto-style agreements to be implemented in a realistic way, apparent increase in world weather anomalies / disasters, widening disparity between rich and poor, corporate thrust causing subsequent failure or dilution of ecological movements, pampering the first world inhabitants with all manner of luxury, each individual country's self-interest causing failure of world cooperation. Religious dogma causing more failure of world cooperation. Silent terrorism of the established systems and the resulting counter-terrorism. The world's rich stealing the resources of the poor. Modern-day colonialism referred to as peacekeeping. Increased technology and failure of recycling systems. Money and the desire for success at the expense of everything. Highly developed war machines and explosives. Delicate infrastructures and public panic making modern cities very prone to failure. High overextended individual and government debt. In short, almost everything you think of these days. Where did we come from? Are we a result of mindless evolutionary matter that periodically and spontaneously creates life? Or are we the result of a conscious religious entity that we refer to as God? We seem to forget that all theories and theologies were created by us. Absolutely none of them have ever been proven. The possibility remains that we not only created these beliefs, but are also the god or gods of which they speak. Lucifer and the afterlife may well be simply products of our invention. If that is the case, then there is still hope to be able to cope with Armageddon because God isn't going to cause it. We are. We deserve Armageddon, and the end of previous times are due. We are all getting very tired of the newscasts that tell us things like the drug companies won't supply Zambian AIDS victims because they are unable to exact their typical pound of flesh. An alien view of our planet will reveal that we are unable to share. The whole human race, save a few, has not learned to share. Few humans reach what any alien would call adulthood. The status quo has gone sour. Armageddon is a welcome change. We fight over resources like kids in a toy box. The end is near. If you survive the end of times, you will lose your childish thoughts and learn a caring philosophy. These are not scare tactics to further some agenda, short of things making sense for a change. Something like Armageddon is happening right now, and there is nothing that we are doing to stop it, apart from our silly lip service nonsense like Kyoto and peace talks that go nowhere. Continuing the alien view would find us to be sexual beings and our inability to control populace apparent. This is the inherent greed, but there is still hope. I should say, thus the inherent greed, but there is still hope. As long as the possibility remains that we created God and all the various religious passages for our so-called guidance, we can then create a reasonable and practical solution and avoid the worst of it. As my kid would say, yeah, like that's going to happen. Like children, all we do is play the money game. Many of us are completely without this artificial commodity and not allowed to play or eat. The homeless have already seen Armageddon, and the hungry are the living apocalypse. Eating our way to happiness while others starve is our primary sin against ourselves and our world. Disregarding all present theories and theologies, there is but one alternative that should be our guide. We are essentially figmentalist in nature, and what you think, you see, and it becomes real. We are the earth itself and even our universe. We are collectively an entity that does not know of its origin but realizes its existence. We are collectively out of control and the apocalypse is nigh. We are the ones responsible for this catastrophe. None of us can be proud of our earth stewardship, and the warnings are manifold. This same earth is reacting to these insults and is beginning to shed the cause, namely us. Unless we realize our oneness with it and enter adulthood and begin anew. In conclusion, there is little hope for us given our record. The likelihood of corporate philosophy and practice being replaced by the human desire for peace and plenty for all is minuscule. With greed for convenience comes the need for the organized to pillage the world supplies from the disorganized. This is the root cause of all war. Our population levels are changing the atmosphere as we speak and rising dramatically as poorer nations become able to emulate the richer ones by becoming just as wasteful. People are so greedy that they just want to be able to get their fast food from the nearest store and throw the wrappers on the ground. They do not wish to take any responsibility for either the source of the food or the mess it creates. Virtually all of our manufactured goods wind up as waste sooner or later. Our entire factory system is dedicated to turning our material supplies into garbage, and this is largely due to fashion. Making things truly recyclable and taking responsibility for the maintenance of these basics is not a corporate interest, and legislators are a slave to what is referred to as the bottom line. The real bottom line is the world we live in and the responsibility to end conflict, tidy up our habits, and in general grow up and do a little plain thinking. Armageddon is well underway. Just visit the multitudes of AIDS victims in Africa, the starving in many places of the world, or the bombed out in Afghanistan or Iraq. We are all surely doomed and deservedly so. Namron Sor. And very sore.